Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Kick-Ass Career Conversation. And whether you have just stumbled upon us or were invited to listen in, we are so glad that you are here and joining us today. I'm Kim.
And I'm Louise.
And we're joined by...
Catherine.
Hi. We will learn a little bit more about Catherine in just a little bit, but we want to start off this week like we start off every week. Friends, what are we celebrating this week?
I love this question. I think I say that every podcast. It's like, I love it. But this really gives me a chance to just take a moment out of my day to reflect on the things that are working. We get stuck in the not right, what's not working often. And it's great to have this time. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you asking that question, Kim, every week. I'm celebrating. Kim, you and I were talking about something earlier on before the podcast about unlocking ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And the genius, I think, that lives inside of everyone. There are superpowers, how to unlock that, how to live into whatever it is that we are meant to live into, or I don't know. There's this, we were exploring this deeper understanding of like who we are and really how we hold ourselves back, which I think I'm celebrating this idea. Not that I've discovered anything new quite yet, but I'm celebrating this idea of exploring that space, of trying to like live more into my genius, understanding what that is and understanding that superpower. And I talk to clients about it all the time. And so it's really nice to be able to take a step back and explore that for myself, maybe alongside my clients coming up, like who knows, but it's very interesting space to be in. And I'm celebrating that. And the gift, Kim, that you gave me earlier on was just allowing me to do that in a way I hadn't done before. So thank you.
You're very welcome. It was fun. It was fun.
Catherine, what are you celebrating?
Oh, wow. That was just wonderful what you shared. I think what I'm celebrating, and I love that we're starting with this question too. I just got notified a couple days ago that I was invited to join a professional advocacy committee.
Wow, so, congratulations. Yeah,
I'm very excited. It's called the Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Advocacy Corps. And I am joining as a healthcare professional. So I'll be doing a lot of the work that I love doing, but just as part of the Advocate Corps.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so excited. We're still finalizing the details of our first meeting. So this is very new and I am very thankful.
Love that. Isn't it beautiful when those opportunities come to us and that we actually take the time to say, look what I did. Look where the space that I've been invited into.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're celebrating that with us. Thank you so much, Catherine. So I think for me, I'm celebrating community. I am celebrating community that has been around for a long time, right? Family and friends and loved ones and people that I've met in my various careers and just the various ways that I've shown up in the world. I'm also celebrating the community that I'm intentionally growing. And to step into that space of inviting people to go along on a ride that we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know what's going to unfold. And yet every time we get together, something magical happens. And so I'm celebrating community. It's something that, I mention it in passing a lot, but I don't know that I actually stop to actually truly celebrate it. So I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it down in my spilkies today.
I love that.
Yeah. Catherine, I want to kind of let the world know who you are at the table.
Right.
So I'm gonna share your bio. So Catherine Berman is a military veteran who spent a year as a warehouse manager before transitioning to her current field of human services. For the past 3 years, she's been delivering individualized one-on-one therapy to special needs children and families using the principles of behavior science. She loves what she does and is very excited to share more about it. I'm so excited that you're here for this conversation today and to celebrate that not only have you taken this journey, but how it's unfolding for you with what you shared in what you're celebrating today. So thank you so much, Catherine, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to just share how things have unfolded.
Tell our listeners a little bit about, because we were talking backstage a bit before we went live on the podcast today, a little bit about your career journey. Because you were talking about how you feel like you were meant to do what it is that you're doing. How did you find your way here?
Oh, quite by accident, actually. Quite by accident. I completed my master's degree back in 2017. I tried a couple different fields, ranging from medicine to e-commerce as a warehouse manager. And I tried. The intention was to try this field of behavior science during a point of lots of transition in my life. So if I didn't like it, it would have been no big deal, but I fell in love with it and I've been running with it. And I feel like I've finally found the career path that makes me very happy and lets me do a lot of good in the world.
I love that. That a whole idea of experimenting, I think many of us kind of shy away from that because it feels like failure is weaved into, right? When we try something and it doesn't work out, we invest time, we invest money, trying to be trained and educated in a certain space. But you've really leaned into that whole idea of if it's okay if it's not your thing, it's okay if it wasn't meant to be.
That's one of the first things that I learned very quickly when I completed college and I started getting my feet wet in the real world, quote unquote, that you might have a plan in your head about how the next 5 years, year, month might go, but life may tell you otherwise and you need to be willing to adapt to that.
So how has that unfolded as you've become a behavior scientist, right? That's what you are. Your background now is in behavior science and working with others. How have you found that adaptability to unfold and help you as you continue to explore?
My goodness, that was something that I used to be just terrible at. Mm. I'm going to be honest with you. This ability to be flexible and move forward when you don't have all the information, this is definitely a skill that I have developed. I was in a totally different mindset coming out of grad school. I credit a lot of what I've learned about developing that skill to my dad. He was wonderful, still my personal hero. And in working as a warehouse manager all through the pandemic and in the military. So it was a combination of family and life unfolding.
Mm-hmm. So through your studies and through the work that you're doing now, tell us a little bit about how you knew that this was your purpose, how you like have leaned in and said, yeah, this is where I'm meant to be.
I love telling this story because I can point it to one moment while I was working with a special needs kiddo. I just love it. It is the first thing you will find on my LinkedIn profile. So when I first was dabbling in behavior science, I was working with just this wonderful little early intervention kiddo. So talkative, so playful. Sessions with this kiddo were just the bright spot of my whole day. And in one of our sessions, the family had ordered, I don't remember what it was, something from Amazon. And the big, big box was still in the living room. So we were focused on in behavior science and developing some skills, managing behaviors, that kind of thing. One of the skills was prepositions, you know, inside, beside, in front of. So I thought, okay, what better way to work on prepositions than me as the therapist literally jumping into the box? And I made up a game about it. I shortened my name and I called it Cat in a Box. And that was how we worked on prepositions that day. The little kiddo that I was working with was just laughing and laughing. I was laughing. We covered so many things that day. And it didn't feel like just sitting at a desk and just doing flashcards. It felt natural. Everybody had fun. And that was the moment when I thought, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
That's magical. And what I love inside the nugget inside that story is finding not just what works for you as the therapist, but finding what it will work for who you're working with. Right. And I think that when we picked this topic today of neurodiversity in the workplace, this idea of understanding who we're working with so that we can work together. I don't know if you want to speak to this at all in terms of kind of the work that you do with children, or if you've experienced anything in your workplace experience where finding those places to understand each other better has been helpful. Is there anything that you want to add into that?
Oh, I have one story that quickly comes to mind when I was working as a warehouse manager. Yes. I'm not sure if this individual that I worked with had any sort of diagnosis, but I still think it would speak to just taking the time to understand where another person is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So while I was working at this warehouse, I received a new team member that other managers told me, in no uncertain terms, all sorts of negative things. I really got the sense that they maybe thought she wasn't a good fit for this environment. So I sat down and I just talked with her. I took 20 minutes out of my day and I said, just tell me where you've been. Tell me what your experience has been like at this company, what you've been doing. I just want to hear your perspective. I guess number one, no one had ever sat down and talked with her before. And number two, she was able to give me so much insight into what she liked about certain roles, what she didn't like. She disclosed some troubles that she was having that are her business, so I won't repeat them. But she just had a lot that it sounded had been on her mind for quite some time that she didn't have anybody to share it with. So I said, okay, let's see what we can do to get you connected to some employee resources for the things that you mentioned. And then, in the meantime, let's see if we can find you a role that maybe you enjoy a little more. Because when she came to me, she was just in one particular role in the warehouse. And you could do a bunch of different roles. She told me, I really like to do this role. So I said, okay, I'll set up a time where you can train in that role. And this process took like 6, 7, 8 months of gradually working with this individual. She tried several different roles, some she liked, some she didn't. Some she let me know that, oh, there's this one component that I really like doing, but this other part of the job, maybe not so much. And by the time that I left that role after a year, this individual had gone from other managers wondering if she was the right fit for this type of work to being the most decorated member of my team, knowing the most about every available role, in my particular department and on her way to being a manager.
Wow. Wow.
That's because somebody took the time to talk with her.
Yep.
Yeah. And that whole idea, that whole, the power behind job crafting, right? And that it's not this, I struggle with this all the time, because those job postings, those job descriptions, those things that have been created by wonderful HR people, like, don't get me wrong, but it's very, like, very routine, right? There are always bullet points. There's always like, there's this, 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 this. And it's so hard as human beings to be able to say, but I like all of those things equally, right? That's just not true, because it's, and I imagine too, going forward, AI is going to be making more and more job descriptions. And we as humans, we have our own likes and dislikes. We have the things that we excel in and then we don't excel in. We have our own zones of genius. Mm-hmm. And to be able to sit down and help someone from, like, basically saying, like, from the beginning, who are you and what do you enjoy or what do you think you might enjoy? And to be able to job craft that and have someone experience it. And then to come back and say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like, because we don't know. We often don't know until we experience or experiment with something. But to be able to craft our own roles and our own, make our own job descriptions, like, I think that's so fabulous, so wonderful. If we get to see more of that, then we really are utilizing people in a way that, like, that lights them up. Right? Mm-hmm. We're, the work is giving more to the individual than the individual is giving to work, right? Like, we turn the tables.
Oh, absolutely. And as this process started to unfold, her demeanor started to change too. When she came into work every morning, she would come in with a smile and she said, oh, is this role available? I would really like to do this today. So she basically got to pick where she wanted to go. And I give a lot of credit for how this whole story unfolded to her, for being so in tune with what she likes and she wanted to do more of. She just wanted to learn, which is wonderful.
And what one of the things that I'm hearing here is that from the manager's perspective, right, from your perspective, you had the knowledge, the wisdom to show up and say, this is going to take time and we're going to meet you where you are, not yes in the job crafting, but also in the understanding, in the asking questions. You didn't need a diagnosis. You didn't need to know what necessarily was going on. Just how do I best serve you and elevate you as a manager? And absolutely. I think that that component, right, when we're talking about neurodiversity in the workplace, allowing whether it's our supervisor or our colleagues, or even those who report to us, to be in dialogue about how we work best, where we work best, those tasks and the ways that we work best, and being more open and fluid in that, instead of, you know, as you were talking, Louise, about the rigidity of a job description, mm-hmm. which so often, I know that when I was managing teams, particularly very large teams in the nonprofit sector, people were so focused on the job description, and yet in nonprofit, nobody lives in that job description. But whenever, right, it was like whenever somebody got bent out of shape, they went immediately back to the job description. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, but let's actually craft work, to use your word, Louise, let's craft work that works for us so we can support the overall purpose of the organization, the purpose of what's going on. And that means being open to dialogue and asking questions and being a little bit vulnerable, because there had to have been some vulnerability there for the colleague that you were managing, to be able to say, these are the things that I want. This is what I need.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of that was personal information that, again, I will not repeat, but there were moments there where I was amazed at what she felt comfortable sharing with me. And I didn't take that lightly. I thanked her profusely. So yes, most definitely. And talking about too the rigidity of the job description, sure, she might have been hired for this particular role, but there were other roles available. This was an e-commerce company in the middle of a pandemic. Every department needed help.
Yeah.
Everybody needed help. This was a great time to learn. And she was the expert on her life circumstance, on how her brain worked. Not me. Mm-hmm. So my job there, even though I wore the manager's red vest, was to listen to her.
Yeah. Oh, I just like that is so key. My job is to listen to her. And so those of us that manage people, it is our role to listen to them. It is our role to understand they know themselves. They know how their brains work. They know how what lights them up. They know the best environment that they can thrive. So listen,
mm-hmm.
right? And giving that space for them to show up and for ourselves, if it's us, right? That going to that place of vulnerability for ourselves and saying, okay, why is this not working? I may not have all the details, but I can definitely show up to my supervisor, to my manager, to my clients as an entrepreneur and say, this is why, like, this isn't working. Can we try something else? But it involves communication and transparent, a little bit of transparency and vulnerability and curiosity, right? We love that C word around here.
Yeah. It does. Curiosity from both parts too. Mm-hmm. Manager yeah. and employee.
Yeah. Right. Because a lot of that success came from your teammate to lean in and to be able to know themselves enough to say, this is what I like and don't like. This is where I thrive and don't thrive. And that's such a different approach because we give our power away so much, right? As employees to organizations saying the organization knows best. I'm going to fit into this role. I'm going to fit in here. And we feel like we have to as employees as well to succeed. And really what I love about this conversation today is about thriving is how we succeed, not checkboxing.
No.
You can certainly, like, I understand the wisdom of having a reference document, like these are the core tasks and everything. But in this particular instance, what it boiled down to was product needed to get out of the warehouse. That was the overarching goal. All departments work together to get the product out of the warehouse. Okay. How can this employee's skill set, all the skills that she is bringing, how can that be worked into this overarching goal in a way that product gets out of the warehouse, people get the supplies they need in the middle of this pandemic, and the employee loves what she's doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, Catherine, with or Cat in the Box, with what you've learned through your studies and in the work that you've done with children, I'm curious what thoughts you have or what tips you might have in terms of things we can do for each other in the workplace. With this understanding that a large majority of individuals that we're working with or for likely have some sort of neurodivergence, right? There's so many people who are being diagnosed with ADHD or HSP or autism, right? All mm-hmm. of these things that are now coming to light that we're understanding about ourselves better. I'm curious from that behavior scientist's mind, if there's anything that you can suggest for us in terms of our own interactions with each other.
Ooh, I could give a lecture on this topic. I think the first thing you need to realize is like somewhere between 15 and 20% of the adult population in the US identifies as neurodiverse. And I've done the math with population statistics. That's over 1 million people in every state. Mm-hmm. You're going to encounter somebody with a brain that is wired differently than you. You're going to. It's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The second thing I would point out, especially if you're in a managerial position, that just because you have this manager's title does not mean your authority is infallible. People so frequently well, this is unscripted and I can speak freely. People mm-hmm. so often fear the person that's directly above them. And that is not an environment that is conducive to constructive dialogue. When I first put on that red manager's vest and I started walking around in the warehouse, whenever I would walk up to somebody who was on my team and reporting to me, they would get this look on their face like they were scared, like they were in trouble. I have so many thoughts on that. Number one, how unfortunate. Number two, let's change it. mm-hmm. So if you are in a position where you have people reporting to you, you need to create this air of approachability, this air of, I can share something with you and I know that you will respect it and that it will not be used against me in any way. Mm-hmm. After a few months really actively managing my team, it got to the point where when I approached somebody, instead of getting this look on their face, they would turn to me and be like, oh, what'd I do? People should be happy to see their managers. That's what I strongly believe. And to avoid giving a lecture on this topic, I will stop at this third point, which is someone should not have to share a diagnosis with you for you to treat them with respect. Mm-hmm. A huge thing that I see a lot is a difference is regarded as intentional hostility or laziness or some other negative word when it's just coming from a place of difference. So that would be my third and fourth one. If you encounter something that seems a little unexpected, be curious. Don't just dismiss it.
That point of diagnoses not needing to be disclosed and yet still being respected for doing things differently is that one hit home. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the number of people that I see struggling, both in the workplace as employees, as managers, as owners of businesses with teams, of people who are running organizations. Man, there are so many people who are like, my diagnosis doesn't matter, just respect who I am. If sharing the diagnosis is something that is helpful for that individual, I celebrate that 100%. And there's a mm-hmm. lot of people in the world that are like, it's not your business. Yes, I do things differently. I don't want to fit into that box. Give me my own box to fit into, right? Let us all be our own cat in the boxes.
Unfortunately, needing a formal diagnosis is kind of necessary to access a lot of the services. But in terms of disclosure, we are all humans. There is no such thing as a lesser human.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for just a moment, is this idea of neurotypical. So those that can't see my face because they're just listening to it, I think the pause said it all. I have never met anybody, nor have I listened on conversations with other people where people think the same. Our brains do think differently. Our brains mm-hmm. are wired differently. And so this idea of neurotypical versus neurodivergence versus neurodiversity, like neurodiversity I get because we all think differently. And so should all be respected in the way that our brains work and how we process information. Diagnosis or not, that needs to be respected. Those that have diagnoses and need them to access services, I could debate that as well, like, right? And yet that also needs to be celebrated, right? When we step into those places, thank you so much for sharing that information. In what ways can I be of service to you? Can I support you? Can I amplify what you need done so you can thrive? And now I will step off my soapbox.
Well, like what we're talking about is really embracing the gift that each individual has within a company or a business or an organization or an association or fill in the blank, Asian. And we skip over that because organizations and companies become machines. And we're talking about how do we bring the humanity back into work? When we talk about changing the way the world works at work, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is companies, businesses, organizations, associations thrive when their employees thrive. And it is our job as a leader, as leaders in whatever we do, and it doesn't mean it comes with a title. It means when you step into leadership, regardless of what ladder you're on or what step you are on that ladder, we're talking about being curious and treating people with humanity, with kindness, and let's own it. We've been doing a really shitty job of it lately.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Not just lately. It's just more publicized.
Oh yes.
And when we can change when we can turn the tables and when we all start treating people like people and not like job descriptions, then we really do change the way we all work at work. We change the face of business. We change the face of organization. We change what it means to feel like we're needed at work, to feel like work gives us something.
That passion and fulfillment that we were talking about at the beginning for finding that place of purpose, right? Catherine, that you have found for yourself. May we all experience that.
Yeah. I hope so. And I want to say one final thing about bringing a little more humanity into work, that mm-hmm. you don't have to be working with someone who you think has a differently wired brain in order to do this.
Fair. 100% fair.
I've seen this. For over a decade, my father worked as a supervisor in a manufacturing company. He was on his feet 12 plus hours a day. As he got older, that got difficult. But he was with that company for so long that him and his boss and a few other people sat down and said, "We recognize that this job is now much more physically challenging, but we really respect having you around here. We love your work ethic. Let's figure out what we can do about it." It could be as simple as that.
Yeah. 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 It's being in communication. It's being able to see others for the individuals and for the individual contributions that they provide to whatever community we're in, whatever workplace we're in, and allowing space for them to be. It, it's, this is not rocket science, friends. This is this is just being a good freaking human.
Do you know how many companies that I strongly believe would just be like, oh, you can't perform the duties of your job description anymore? A lot of them. Yep. A lot.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of mic drop and soapbox standing moments in this conversation. Would love to, right? Yeah. I would love to know, if we were to wrap it up and put out a golden nugget for our listeners, what are those little takeaways that we want to make sure that they capture?
Oh, all right. Off the top of my head, differences in thoughts, behaviors, lifestyles, whatever, are something to be curious about, not dismissed. Diagnosis or not, shouldn't matter. Everyone is human. If you're a manager, and I mentioned this previously, you're not just an authority figure. Mm-hmm. You should be a resource for your direct reports. And people who are working with children in particular, keep in mind that they are children. Especially if you're in a profession that relies heavily on data and numbers. Children are not just sources of data. I feel like that's very easy to get caught up in some fields. Mm-hmm. And children are part of the family unit. If the family is bringing you in to work with their child, they're on their own journey. Be a resource for whoever you can.
Yeah. I think it's this whole idea of how we can foster an environment where people thrive, where we meet them where they're at, and that we work with humans. We don't work with job descriptions. And if we can shed that and put that down and actually be able to help someone craft their own career, their own path, then we are helping them thrive in ways we probably don't even understand. Probably just the tip of the iceberg when we can help folks really lean into that. And it's that humanity piece, right? We are all different. We all have our own gifts. And when we can be curious about others, that's how we really do thrive. Like, let's step off of this, like, how do we succeed and lean into how do we thrive? Because I think that's very different. Mm-hmm. Let's get away from the check boxes and lean into like actually understanding what a human needs.
Absolutely.
I don't think anything else needs to be said there.
Oh, I could just imagine some people being like, well, our business has to make money. Our company has to make money. Okay.
But it does. Right.
You do. You make lots of money by being
you. You do, number one. And number two, these are not very expensive things if they have a price tag at all.
Okay. Quick side story. So when I was in the corporate sector, I worked for this organization that was throwing benefit after benefit after us because we worked very long hours. We did a lot of work. We were stretched very thin. Sound familiar? Anybody who works in particularly corporate America, but pretty much any industry, stretched super thin. And so here's a gym membership. Oh, by the way, the gym is in the building. Right? You don't even have to leave the building. Oh, here's childcare. You don't have to leave the building. Childcare is here in the building. You can go see your kids at right on your break, but it's here in the building. Well, why are they doing that? They're doing that because they want to elongate the number of hours that you were at work. For me, and I pushed back on HR, I was like, this is not the benefit I am looking for. The benefit I am looking for is time off. enough of us pushed back that they changed our leave policies. And it wasn't like extended leave policies, but they changed the way they treated time off and PTO and ability to work from home or work half days or whatever. But it's our voices that need to be heard to be saying, this is not what we're looking for, whether as an individual or as a collective. And that's, yeah, I stop with the, like, seriously, stop with the gym memberships. They just stop. Give me time off and pay me better. All right, I'm done with that. So my takeaway from today is about experimentation, right? There, it went to that story as well. It's about experimentation. It's about finding what works for your unique company, for your unique department, for your unique team. Find what works because everybody's an individual and it's going to change based on the individuals that are in those roles. So experiment. And don't be afraid of trying new things. That's my takeaway that I want to make sure people get.
Absolutely too.
Catherine, I'm going to speak on Louise's behalf now. We have really enjoyed having you join us today. This has been a great conversation. Where in the world can people find you if they want to continue the conversation with you?
Sure. And I love talking about these sorts of things. I love doing what I can to make changes in the workplace and how people work with children, adults. So please feel free to reach out and connect. I am working to get my personal website launched. So hopefully that will be out in the wild soon. But in the meantime, you can find me on LinkedIn. I am very active on LinkedIn and my profile picture is me in dress whites at boot camp graduation. So you can't miss me.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And Louise, what do we have going on in the world and where can people find us?
We always have so much going on, you and I. Please join us for our next micro mini class that we are doing March the 14th. We're going to be talking about finding moments of joy, which I think is so great. Kind of piggybacks off of this conversation a little bit too. You can find us at 12 Central. And more details about that and all of the other things that we are doing, you can find at yourkickasscareer.com. We've always got lots of little things in the hopper. And I really would love to see you next time here live on LinkedIn or listen to our next podcast, where we're going to be understanding how we learn with Katrina. It's going to be a great conversation, and you can join us next time with Katrina. Catherine, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today and allowing us the space to talk about this important topic. I think we've gone beyond not just neurodiversity in the workplace, but humanity itself. And so I really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate you and the work that you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing your voice today.
Well, thank you for this lovely conversation. This was fantastic. What a great way to wrap up the week. I love this.
Love it too. Thanks, listeners, for joining us again.
All right. We'll see y'all later.
Take care. Bye. Bye.